Someone texted in a question on the Flores Plus Nixa talk and text line saying, do you think Bloomberg is going to cause an issue for Trump? I'm wondering because I'm already seeing ad after ad after ad after ad for Bloomberg, and I know he's got a crap ton of money. Well, let's talk about this. Short answer is no. Short answer is no. Let me tell you what I believe Bloomberg is. I think Bloomberg is going to be like the Jeb Bush for the Democrat primary. He's going to spend lots and lots of money, so much so, in fact, it'll be broken down per vote that he ends up getting in Iowa, New Hampshire. Maybe he'll stay until South Carolina. I just do not see him making it very far at all, and I think that what will be notable is the amount of money that he spends. But I'll explain why I don't think that he's going to make an impact here this morning. We've got Don Luzader with the latest news first.
And good morning. Authorities say three people died in southeast Missouri when their vehicles were swept off of flooded roadways over the weekend that happened out in Bollinger County. The Highway Patrol says two boys died and an adult man and a two-year-old were injured when their vehicle was swept off of a bridge. Missouri became a national focal point for officer-involved shootings after Michael Brown's death in Ferguson 5 years ago, but only a small number of police agencies in the state are submitting data to an FBI program designed to track those shootings. An analysis by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has found that the voluntary national use of force data collection effort has been slow to catch on, even among police departments in the St. Louis area. And the 19th-ranked Missouri State Lady Bears pick up an 83-58 win over Kansas City at JQH Arena. Sophomore Jasmine Franklin scoring a career-high 24 points. We have a full game recap at KSGF.com. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Clouds this morning gradually clearing out, a high of 43 expected. Tonight, cloudy 31, partly sunny 53 tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny 55, 30 and cloudy, holding steady there. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. If you're wanting to sell your home, Emily Johnson's the way to go. You think, oh, I can do it all on my own because of the internet and such. And I have a friend who sold his house and it went really well. Let me tell you, odds are, whomever it is that's looking to buy your home, whomever it is that's going to make an offer, they will have somebody on their side who knows what they're doing. Emily Johnson is not a part-time real estate agent. She is one of a very small group that actually do it full-time. And above and beyond, it is a passion for her. She doesn't have a team of people she passes things off to. She does it on her own, beginning to end, your personal assistant. So what you don't want to do is go at it alone and then have somebody who comes along looking to buy your home and they have an advocate on their side. Now, I'm not saying they're going to like rip you off or anything, but they have someone who knows what they're doing on their side, most likely, and odds are you don't. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Her number is 890-1455. You can find her on Facebook. Follow her that way. It's a good way to keep up to date anyhow. And then when the day comes, if not today or tomorrow or next month, but eventually you do want to sell your home or you're looking to buy one, you'll know where to find her. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. So the question was, Michael Bloomberg, is he going to hurt Trump? No. I don't believe Michael Bloomberg will make it. I'll be surprised if he makes it through spring in any meaningful way. First, given his position in our culture and our society, he's running in like the worst party to run in. Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. I'm not saying, oh, he's actually a Republican. But this is a billionaire who has talked about the virtues of taxing poor people. And this primary is one that is going to be impacted very greatly by left-wing activists that go on and on about how we shouldn't even have billionaires. I am having a very difficult time formulating in my mind the type of Democrat with all of the options that are there that would support Bloomberg. And the idea that Bloomberg could get enough support in enough states to actually win the nomination, to me, I genuinely believe Cory Booker has a better chance. I believe Andrew Yang has a better chance. I believe, in fact, Bloomberg may be one of the worst candidates for the Democrats to have. Now, the person who texted in is right. He does have tons and tons and tons of money. That is, I believe, going to be a disadvantage for him, particularly because it's his own money. You already have Sanders and you have Klobuchar, I believe, and some of these others that are, to a degree, many of them are catering towards the left-wing anti-rich activists that are painting Bloomberg as trying to buy the election, trying to buy it. He's rich. He's a billionaire trying to buy the election. There just isn't a lot about Bloomberg that is going to be attractive to Democrats. Now, some have argued, and this is academic, and it's wrong, that, Bloomberg, he used to be a Republican, and then he was an independent. Now he's a Democrat, and perhaps he will be the one that Democrats look at and say, he can reach across the aisle. He's the one that can make moderates and come back to the Democrats, and he's the one that all of those voters in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and many of those states who traditionally vote Democrat but swung to Trump can bring them back. You do not have enough Democrats. That's not what they want. The Democrats who want that, you know who they're supporting right now? Joe Biden. The reason most Democrats support Joe Biden is because they believe he's the one who has the best chance at winning in a general election. He's the one that they believe, because he's less radical, relatively speaking, than the other Democrats, that he can come in and he can do it. And Bloomberg is not going to take that away from him. I mean, he may get a little bit of that support. I just don't see Mayor Bloomberg, a billionaire who has touted the virtues of taxing poor people, getting the Democrat nomination. Now, I know many of you, because I know how you think, go, well, what if he decides to run as a third-party candidate somehow? I can't see people who voted for Donald Trump deciding that they want a Mayor Bloomberg. A nanny state guy who, by the way, his reason for extolling the virtues of taxing poor people is to control their behavior. Much of Trump's support comes from people who want the government off their backs to, you know, maybe not to the extent that some people do, but they're just tired of all of that stuff. They're very tired of people in government saying, I know what's best for you, so I'm going to create laws that tell you how to live your life. And I certainly don't believe there's a significant number of Trump supporters who believe that. And this idea any longer that people vote for somebody they think is going to bring everyone together, do you know, that is rationalization. Just being honest here, that is a human emotion that is rationalization. What does that even mean, bring everyone together? That mean everyone agree? Well, that's not going to happen. That everyone all of a sudden, people on the left are going to turn around their beliefs completely and totally. Now, some can argue, well, it doesn't mean that, but it means we go back to the days where Republicans and Democrats could at least work together and there wasn't all of this hatred. Does anybody believe that the Antifa types, these individuals that scream at Republicans who show up at restaurants, that scream at Republicans anytime they're in the public forum, and the Maxine Waters who encourage it, the Democrats who accuse people who are Border Patrol agents of being like Nazis, that if somebody like a Bloomberg, or that any candidate for that matter, could become president, that they're going to stop being that hateful towards people with whom they disagree? I don't believe that. That is who they are. There is not a candidate in existence. There's not an American in existence right now that would make the people on the left stop being so filled with hate. That would make them stop getting on Facebook and demanding, anyone who believes this, unfriend me now. Anyone who believes this, unfriend me now. These are people who want to live in their little cocoon in a monolithic culture with no diversity of thought. And there's no one that can, there's not a president that can make them change that mindset. Those people, you just for the most part, have to kind of write them off. They're lost. Those people are sucked into that belief system, and they're not going to leave. So the reason I'm talking about this is that some wonder whether or not Bloomberg can be seen as the one that can bring people together. I'm just telling you, there's nobody that fits that bill. Bloomberg, to me, is the Democrat equivalent of Jeb Bush in the Republican primary. Got a lot of money. Now, Jeb, it wasn't his own, but he had massive amounts of the elite establishment money. But it isn't going to translate to much because, among other reasons, he's not exciting. He's boring. Have you looked at the guy? Oh, but people they shouldn't vote for that reason. Well, they do. Why do you think they voted for Obama? In Joe Biden's words, he was clean and articulate for a black person. I mean, there is that, Trump. Trump has a personality that is engaging. Some people hate it. Some people love it. I mean, Bloomberg, he is just so boring. And Democrats in particular who are drawn towards a more engaging personality, there's no way they're going to find I don't know what Bloomberg's thinking. I don't know where he is going to go with this, but I do not believe it's going to have any impact on the election. It's just my analysis. Here's Bailey with traffic, but it's a good question because he's spreading money everywhere. And that gives you the impression, my gosh, everyone's seen this. It's going to win people over. I just don't think that's the case. Oh, Elizabeth Warren, she's sinking in the polls. You know why? She put out there her Medicaid for All plan. She actually put out some details, and people are like, oh, man, no. So now she's got to scramble for something that isn't really of substance, and she's done that by introducing a bill that would posthumously revoke 20 medals of honor awarded to U.S. soldiers who slaughtered hundreds of Native Americans, mostly women and children, at the Wounded Knee Massacre of 1890. It's called the Remove the Stain Act, and it accompanies a House version introduced earlier this year by Democrat Paul Cook of California, Danny Heck of Washington, and Deb Haaland of New Mexico. Warren said in a statement, the horrifying act of violence against hundreds of Lakota men, women, and children at Wounded Knee should be condemned, not celebrated with medals of honor. The Remove the Stain Act acknowledged a profoundly shameful event in U.S. history. That's why I'm joining my House colleagues in this effort to advance justice and take a step towards righting wrongs against Native Americans. Now, the reason she's joining her colleagues in the House is because she is desperately scrambling for some way to get to regain all of the ground that she lost with her disaster of a plan. For Medicaid for All. Which, by the way, what an honorable thing to do, is it not? I mean, it's so cynical. Elizabeth Warren, the proposal co-sponsored by Senator Jeff Merkley and Ron Wyden of Oregon, Kamala Harris of California, Patrick Leahy, Bernie Sanders of Vermont, and all the Democrat candidates. We've got to get on this. We've got to do this. This is just so, what I love about this stuff is it's presented as anyone who is against this is some sort of awful, horrible person. Yet no one really thought to do it until now. You know what I mean? It's like this wasn't even an issue, and now that it is, you have to join. If not, it is because you are awful and horrible, and there's no reasonable person out there that would be against such a thing. Now, You've got Republican Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota. He says he doesn't support the effort because we're now guessing about the roles of individual soldiers. And, of course, that's true. This is all symbolic and it means nothing. It means nothing. It means nothing other than symbolism. And I think that the real symbolism here is what are these candidates, particularly Elizabeth Warren, what are they running on? What value do they provide to the American people or to the voters? And I think we're seeing nothing. The only thing that Elizabeth Warren has proposed of any sort of substance caused a massive reversal in her polling numbers. So what is she going back to do? She's going back to do these things that don't have that, you know, well, nobody can really be against, and it won't do any real harm necessarily. I mean, you could argue that there could be the ripple effect culturally, but, you know, in terms of pocketbook and the economy, and it's a sort of thing that she can go around and try to negate her lies of stolen heritage, you know, where she falsely claimed she was Cherokee Indian, and so kill two birds with one stone. But you think about also the absurd. If you start doing this, then you could do that. I mean, you could just spend day after day after day after day retrospectively looking at wars or specific battles in war and deciding in the context of today, well, would we like it today? We liked it 150 years ago, or it was honored 150 years ago, but we're a different time now, and so we have to revisit it and start revoking medals in today's culture and today's context. And if that's the case, then every 10 years, I guess we need to revisit this stuff. Because things that are acceptable today may not be considered acceptable in 10 years. They may be outrageous in 10 years. Some of the things that we accept today, in 10 years, if you continue to accept them, you may be racist for it. You may be, who knows what you are? Because they constantly move the goalpost for outrage. And something that was outrageous yesterday or the day before is not outrageous today. And something that was outrageous, I mean, look at the Me Too movement. We went from the mere accusation without any proof being enough to be believed to where you have the lieutenant governor of West Virginia just reelected despite the fact that he was accused of being raped by two women. Like, well, you know, I mean, that goalpost just moves. So now we don't believe the accused, you know, and that took maybe a year's time before they managed to alter that. And so introducing a bill to revoke individual medals of honors for those at Wounded Knee Massacre, it is a distraction. And it is a distraction in order to try and regain some ground, because what Elizabeth Warren has discovered is that if she puts something out that is of actual substance, something that would occur if she got her way as president of the United States, it did great harm to her. And so she's got to go back to doing these sort of symbolic things that, you know, and create conflict where it didn't once exist in order to try to regain some of that ground. Once again, folks on the left were outraged at something they thought was started and created by Donald Trump, but it turns out it was Obama when it comes to immigration. I don't know. It's almost as if someone is deliberately putting these stories out there, erroneously attributing them to Trump, just so the left will get outraged and have egg on their face. I mean, how many times do they have to be caught, especially when it comes to the immigration stuff? And there's yet another story. I'll share that with you here coming up. Bailey with the traffic update. I'm Nick Reed. Ooh, Melania Trump has unveiled a patriotic, Spirit of American-themed White House Christmas decoration. So give the left, 12 hours to start ripping on her for that. You say, well, how could they rip on her for that? I don't know. That poor woman. People, they they'll point to Trump and say, man, that guy, they've never in their lives ever seen anyone as president of the United States attacked as much as Donald Trump. And that's true. But think about his wife. At least Trump, you argue, you run for office, you got to expect a certain level of this. She went to a high school to talk about opiate addiction, and whether it's the school or the parents have so indoctrinated their kids with hate, they booed her for going out there and just trying to send a good, positive, non-political message, and they boo her. That is this. You want to talk about bullying? You can't point to a single thing Melania Trump has ever said or did towards anyone that would be considered even remotely hurtful or mean. Yet she is relentlessly trashed on, and people should. It is shameful the way she's treated. We've got Don Luzader. He's here with news.
And good morning. Folks in the Hartville community rallied together to keep up a tradition around a nativity scene after thieves stole light bulbs and extension cords just before the big debut.
Officials
say, yeah, isn't it, though? Officials say the community went out and bought all
good
new lights
them.
And equipment. They're not going to let these guys bother them. Then worked for hours so that scene would be lit up before sundown on Sunday. That nativity has been an annual tradition in Hartville since 1952. And the Department of Homeland Security is adamant that October 1st, 2020, it won't matter who you are. If you want to fly, you will need a real ID-compliant identification. Political experts are doubtful, though. TSA estimates that around 1 million Americans will be turned away from airports a day starting on October 1st because of noncompliance. That's around half of all Americans who fly daily. Because of this, most experts expect a delay on the deadline, again, for real ID, but no one can say for sure.
They should just do it like they do the requirement for a photo ID to vote, that you have to have one unless you don't.
That's pretty much how it works, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you just have to sign something saying, I don't have one, and then you're cool. So,
but I do have this handy voter identification card in my wallet.
Yeah.
Will you take that? Oh, sure,
yeah,
we'll take
sure,
that.
We'll do that.
That's the latest.
KTTS First Alert forecast, cloudy this morning. It's going to gradually clear off, but not much warmer, a high of 43. Cloudy, 31 tonight. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 53. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, 55, 30 and cloudy. Now, I noticed a lot of folks that I'm friends with on Facebook remarked about their college-age children going back to school after coming home for Thanksgiving. And I know there will definitely be a return trip for a lot of these kids for Christmas, right? So one of the things, I'm just going to give you a little bit of advice here, that I know from when I was a college student, I did not prioritize maintenance on my vehicle. Just didn't. That was the last thing that I worried about, last thing that I thought about. You just don't do it so often. So an idea for you, whenever you're, and it doesn't even have to be a gift, but just the sort of thing to take care of your kid in some capacity, if you still want to, is schedule while they are home an appointment at A1 Custom Car Care for their vehicle to have it checked over to see that it is prepared to continue to make it through winter. Do they need an oil change or tire rotation? That way you know when they head back home, at least until they get home for Easter or spring break, that they are going to be in a vehicle that has been checked over and potentially can save them from a breakdown on the way home or 2 or 3 weeks later. It's just, you know, it's a good idea. And then it's something that they don't have to worry about. And it's something that, more importantly, you don't have to worry about. So keep that in the back of your mind, and you can give it as a Christmas gift if you want, or just, you know, one of those things you take care of as mom or dad. A1 Custom Car Care, Fort and Sunshine, Springfield, Highway 60 Republic, West Sunset across from Classic Rock Coffee. That is the location, incidentally. We have the Santa's Angels tree for adoption. A1 Custom Car Care. Democrats unleashed on Immigration and Customs Enforcement, a.k.a. ICE, last week over reports that the agency arrested 900 foreign-born students who had enrolled in a fake university. They were outraged. They got outraged before they realized that President Obama's the one who started the whole thing. Oopsie daisies. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others reacted to news of the arrest by accusing ICE of entrapping students and implying the tactic was new under the Trump administration. As it turns out, former President Obama's administration not only founded the fake university, it engaged in similar operations in New Jersey in 2016. Isn't this interesting? For a couple of reasons. Now, I know the obvious route here is the typical left. They are outraged at something until they find out it's one of their own, and then they kind of, oh, well, never mind then. Because it's not about the incident, it's about the person that they can accuse of it. Their outrage at issues is predicated on whomever it is that they don't like. And so if it's Trump that does it, then it's outrageous. If it's Obama that does it, well, there are reasons for it. But there's another area to look at this. When Trump overturns or discontinues any sort of program that Obama put in place, generally it's presented as horrible, it's awful. If it's something that the media likes, of course. You know, there's it's presented as in, you know, something Obama, he starts, you don't just come in and undo these things. But then here is something, like, for instance, the creation of this fake university. I'll explain how that worked, by the way, here in a moment, because it can be a little misunderstood. And Trump decides, oh, I'm going to continue this Obama administration policy, and he's condemned for it. Earlier this year, Congress rushed to approve billions more for ICE and CBP. Ocasio-Cortez tweeted, I saw members voting yes without even a summary of the bill. No one cared on how we'd pay for it. Now ICE is setting up fake universities to trap students. Yet we are called radical for opposing it. This is cruel and appalling, said presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren. If this was so cruel and appalling, why didn't you say something when it was first created? Why did you not say something when you were voting to help fund it under the Obama administration? Alyssa Milano also seemed shocked by the news. In total, 250 students have been arrested in connection with the fake University of Farmington. Now, let me explain what this is, because you may not, when I first saw the headline, I misunderstood what it was. The headlines made it seem as if there was some fake university that was scamming students, and the government, and, you know, perhaps investigating the scam, found that some illegals were victims of this scam, and then not only were they victims because they turned their money over believing that they were enrolling in some university, but then double whammy, the US of A deports them. That's not what was going on here. These are individuals who are in the country illegally who were essentially buying a pass to stay here in the U.S. by writing a check to what they knew was a fake university so they could falsely claim they were students here in the United States. So you can oftentimes, under certain, get education visas. And so they would come here. They didn't actually want to go to school, so they would instead write a little tuition check for the fake university and say, oh, look, I'm a student. It was fraudulent. They were committing fraud. Each of the foreign students, according to the New York Times, who enrolled and made tuition payments to the university knew that they would not be attending any actual classes. They knew they weren't earning credits, and they knew they weren't making any academic progress towards an actual degree in their particular field of study. Well, of course, they knew what they were doing. This was the whole point, was to be, it's not any different than people who get a fake marriage. They marry someone so that they can stay here in the United States. Except it is a little bit different. It would be more like if somebody pretended that they married someone, but they didn't actually marry a real person. They knew that it was a fake person, but they did it and committed fraud in that capacity. So that's what was going on here. So these weren't illegals in this country who were victimized by some scam artist, they were part of the scam. I often find it interesting how some Americans, let's say you've got, you see these similar situations run by law enforcement where they will send out, for example, notices to people that have warrants for their arrest and tell them that they won something. I've seen it done when they were told they won a boat or something along those lines. And, of course, there isn't really any sort of prize. They do this in order to get the individuals to come, and then they arrest them. And people usually applaud it, or they remark on the foolishness of these individuals. They get themselves caught. But no one's ever moaning about the plight of these individuals. Yet if you have an illegal who is involving themselves in what they believe is fraud, they believe that they are just buying their way into this country by falsely pretending that they're students somewhere, and they get in trouble for it, that's somehow outrageous. How could you do that to those people? How on earth could you possibly? Don't you know if you're illegal, you're allowed to commit fraud? Don't you know if you come into this country illegally, you're allowed to commit crimes? The same outrage occurs whenever someone who is in the country illegally gets arrested for stealing someone's identity. There was a story. I talked about it here. I don't remember what state it was in, but people were rallying in the community around an illegal immigrant who was arrested because she had stolen someone's identity to be here in the country illegally. And it's just amazing to me. Identity theft is one of the biggest offenses that people worry about on a day-to-day basis. People even buy insurance. You've got a number of different options out there in order to protect from identity theft. I mean, we're constantly on the lookout, but then you get a story about somebody who comes into this country illegally, steals someone's identity, and when they get caught, you have these people on the left that, I mean, are outraged by it. I don't know if you'd call it an affliction, a disorder, that some people have that compels them to want citizens to be punished for a crime, but then if the same crime is committed by people who are in this country illegally, it is an outrage to punish them for it, is something that I believe most normal thinking people can't understand. Springfield's News Talk FM, 104.1 KSGF. Starbucks has issued an apology, along with two statements, after a barista at one of their Oklahoma locations wrote pig on the label of a police officer's coffee cup. Issued a statement saying it's absolutely unacceptable and they're deeply sorry to law enforcement. Kiefer Police Chief Johnny O'Mara shared a photo of the insulting cup handed to one of his officers who purchased the beverage Thursday morning in Glenpool, just south of Tulsa. Starbucks issued this statement saying the Starbucks partner who wrote this offensive word on our cup used poor judgment. It's just poor judgment. And is no longer a partner after this violation of company policy. I like how they use the word partner instead of employee. They said the language is offensive to all law enforcement, is not representative of the deep appreciation we have for police officers who work tirelessly to keep our communities safe. The company also issued a statement in conjunction with the Kiefer Police Department, where the officer works. They wrote on November 29th, Starbucks and the Kiefer Police Department are committed to using this regrettable incident as an opportunity to leverage our shared platforms to promote greater civility. In the coming days, Starbucks will be meeting with Kiefer Police Department to begin discussing ways to work together, including a jointly hosted coffee with a cop event at Starbucks where law enforcement can meet with baristas and members of the community to discuss the critical role dispatchers and police officers play in keeping our communities safe. It's just sort of weird. They're almost acting like the problem here isn't hate for cops. It's that Well, we just need police to, you know, come over and explain what they do. As if there's a lack of understanding about that. The problem here is just that police haven't engaged enough with Starbucks to tell our employees why they shouldn't call police pigs. As if the burden is on law enforcement to not be treated like crap by Starbucks. Oh, we really regret this. Well, you need to come over and explain to our people what you do so that they know better. This is in stark contrast to the way Starbucks reacted to an employee that was only enforcing a management rule that paying customers use the restroom and non-paying customers don't. Remember that? Remember that incident? This poor gal just works at Starbucks. One of the policies she's told, look, bathrooms are for paying customers only. And whenever that was violated, she said, hey, you can't use the restroom. The individual happened to be African-American, went on social media, pitched a fit. Remember how Starbucks reacted to that? They shut down every store in the country for a day so that every one of their employees could learn how not to be racist. Well, this reaction's a little different. If they really truly felt that this was as outrageous as they say, would they not treat this incident the same way and shut down all of their stores in order to teach their employees, their partners, how not to hate police officers? But instead, the burden is on the police to come and explain to their employees why it is that they don't deserve to be called pigs. If they treated the two scenarios in similar fashion, then what Starbucks would have done is told the two African-American individuals that wanted to use the restroom that if they wanted, they could come and explain to the employees why they shouldn't have been treated that way. Can you imagine the reaction if that was Starbucks' way of dealing with it? Well, it's your burden to come and explain why you shouldn't be treated this way. And in that scenario, the girl was simply enforcing a rule that was put into place. At this Starbucks, you have an employee that's obviously, overtly trying to translate disgust for law enforcement. Now, I don't believe that there is any value in completely shutting down all of the stores in order to teach employees, because you know why? I suspect the vast majority of employees, partners at Starbucks, don't hate law enforcement and view them that way. Just like I don't believe that they're all racist, which is essentially what Starbucks was conceding when they shut down every one of their stores so that they could teach employees how not to be racist. I just found the vast difference in treatment of the situation pretty telling from Starbucks. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. 2020 presidential hopeful Amy Klobuchar will likely vote to convict President Trump if his impeachment inquiry moves to the Senate. She appeared on CNN's State of the Union, where host Dana Bash asked if she would consider acquitting Trump based on the current crop of evidence. There's no evidence that's been presented. And I'm not talking rhetorically here. The Senate, in their trial, is making the decision based on the articles of impeachment in which none have been created. I'm not talking about the back and forth of, you know, well, this witness said this and this witness said that. That's not how this works. It's just like a trial. When there's a trial, there is an indictment. And that indictment is, and you know, you probably watch this on Law and Order, where oftentimes they're discussing, what do we charge them with? Do we charge them with manslaughter? Do we charge them with second-degree murder? Do we charge them with first-degree murder? Do we charge them, you know, and you have to write up the official charges. Those get submitted. That is what the jury is instructed to make their judgment upon whether or not the evidence that is then provided is enough evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt what is alleged in the indictment. You cannot make a judgment on whether or not you will convict someone when there is no article of impeachment in existence. Even if you have an idea of, based on what I've heard so far, that is not an article of impeachment. Testimony that you may have seen on TV, that's not how it works. In fact, when it comes to a trial, one of the things that is often done is the jury is sequestered so that they aren't influenced by outside information, information they read in newspapers, information they see on television. And they're specifically instructed not to take that into consideration, but only specifically the evidence that is presented to them in the court setting and in relation to the actual indictment. It is absolutely reckless, one, but I'm not surprised, for CNN to ask this question. I mean, can you imagine in a trial, somebody's on trial for something, which is what this is, or what it will be if it happens, and CNN pulling jurors on, because that's what Amy Klobuchar will be. She'll be a juror that decides guilty or not guilty, and asking them before there's even an indictment put forward. Of course, the jury wouldn't be picked by then. Obviously, there's a sitting jury for the Senate. But point being, asking jurors, so are you going to find the person guilty based on what you've seen on TV? It would never be allowed. It would never even be asked. And for Amy Klobuchar to answer the question, based on what I've seen, I kind of think I will. I don't know if it's more ignorant or irresponsible and reckless. This is one of the Democrat candidates for President of the United States of America. Glenn Beck's coming up next. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed.